Part 3, Tuesday, May 27th, 1975. Scene 1, Darius Just, 6 a.m. But I didn't really sleep well. I had bad dreams, of which I don't remember the details. Though I didn't wake up at 3, I did flip my eyes open at 6 and found I had a rotten taste in my mouth, and that my head was resting on a pillow damp with perspiration. I stared at the ceiling for a while, sorting out the nightmares my imagination had constructed from the nightmare of yesterday's realities, and decided I wasn't going to be able to sleep any more that morning. So I pushed out of bed, took care of my day's assurance that I would require no laxatives, showered, shaved, and then had to make the decision about breakfast. The contrast with the breakfast of the morning before was too extreme, and I decided not to fool with the eggs or the English muffins or the coffee. I didn't even want to be alone. It was a bright morning, the temperature was 59, and that would mean comfortable walking in a jacket. So I walked to the hotel. Actually, I jogged part way, since I was feeling guilty over having stayed out of the gym for the length of the convention. The coffee shop at the hotel was respectably full, even though I was there by 7:30 a.m., and after I had ordered my pancakes and ham, no use getting something I could make for myself at home, and I never made pancakes, I listened to the conversation about me. Muhammad Ali, it seems, was the big hit of the convention. He had been big and brash, and I suspect there is something exciting to the audience in seeing a man who could flatten you into a grease spot with one blow if he wanted to exert himself. Something like being in the same room with a tame lion and with no bars in between. I also heard comments on Joe Namath's mother. She had made a hit, too, pushing the biography she had written of her son. A bookseller, I caught just enough of his badge to see he was from Dallas, complained that no editor or publisher ever came to his store, so how could they know the problems of the bookseller? And the salesman, he said, just wanted to unload books and didn't care if the store went broke. I took a circuitous route on my way out after I had finished, deliberately attempting to overhear conversations. There were complaints about the discounts on textbooks, not high enough, on the nature of the packages the books came in, not easy enough to open, on the quality of the books that came in, not undamaged enough, and loud bitching about the postal service, not anything enough. At one table there was a discussion of the relative merits of religious books and occult books, and how both were selling well, and I had a momentary impulse to lean over and say, religious books are occult books, just to stir something up, but didn't. It wasn't my business, after all. I heard only one comment from the other end of the spectrum, which isn't surprising, since most of the attendees at the ABA were booksellers, after all. There must, however, have been two editors talking in the corner, for one was complaining that booksellers by and large didn't read books, and how could they sell what they were not interested in. I wasn't just being a nosybody, you understand. I was curious as to the extent to which Giles' death had taken over the convention. The answer was simple. Zero, that was the extent. I caught exactly one comment that was Giles-oriented. A fellow from Poughkeepsie said, "Someone fell and killed himself in the shower yesterday. Hear about that?" He couldn't even use his name. The answer was, "What I say is, don't take showers. A cousin of mine," and he was off on a dull story I didn't want to hear. Life goes on.